terrorism, and our energy supply.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for Jeremy Hobson. A terror group claiming to be behind the natural gas plant attack in Algeria promises more strikes. Dozens of hostages and militants are dead after special forces stormed the compound and ended the crisis over the weekend. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us from London for a look at the impact on energy. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Mark.
So how important in general is North Africa as an energy supplier?
Well, BP and other majors regard it as a very important and significant region for future development. There have been years of underinvestment there, largely due to the isolation of the Gaddafi regime in Libya. But it was felt after the Arab Spring, North Africa generally and Libya in particular would see a big burst of exploration and production would be ramped up. North Africa could become a major energy growth area.
So for that potential, what does the attack do to that?
Well, Nick McGregor, an oil analyst with brokers Redmayne Bentley, thinks it certainly won't stop oil and gas exploration there, but it could hamper it because of the threat to the physical safety of installation staff.
Oil and gas companies are about some of the most willing businesses in the world to go into difficult areas, but things like this will increase risk and will increase cost, and therefore they are likely to slow investment going forwards.
So that's about investment, medium term, long term. But in general, does an attack like this move the needle in terms of energy prices that we can notice?
McGregor thinks it won't, because North Africa is not, as things stand, an absolutely critical source of energy for the global market right now. But it could have an impact in the future, and the effect is most likely to be felt in Europe and especially in the natural gas market.
Okay, Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks.
Okay, Mark.
We're getting a rare inside look into how the Fed responded in the early days of the financial crisis. Marketplace's Dan Bobkoff reports on newly released transcripts from 2007 Fed meetings.
Oh, the power of hindsight. We now know that the Great Recession began in December of 2007, but the Fed transcripts from that month show disagreement among officials over how bad things were. Justin Wolfers is with the University of Michigan.
It's a rather startling divide, which I think is actually kind of hard to explain, given they're all looking at the same data.
Some at the table proved prescient. Tim Geithner, then head of the New York Fed, was among those worried about impending recession. But Wolfer says Dallas Fed President Richard Fisher spent a lot of time talking about food price inflation.
There wasn't much food price inflation. There hasn't been much food price inflation.
That disagreement might be why some think the Fed was slow to respond to the unfolding crisis. Alan Sinai is with Decision Economics.
Policymakers are almost always late.
Even as they outlined the rapid deterioration of the housing and mortgage markets, some felt the financial system could handle the stress. But now we know how much worse things got in 2008. We'll get those transcripts next year. In New York, I'm Dan Bobkoff for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading. European shares are rising. Trading in Asia was mixed. American markets will be closed to observe the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday Friday on Wall Street. The S&P was up 0.3%. The Dow gained 0.4% to close at 13,649.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
As President Obama celebrates his inauguration, we're looking at education in America and the opportunities it provides. We teamed up with students at USC's Annenberg School to track down people born on past inauguration days. Here's what they have to say about a changing America.
My name is Kira McDonough, and I'm from Chicago, Illinois. And this is my son, Ronan Godo.
Hi, my name is Ronan, and I'm 3 years old.
And Ronan is going to be turning 4 on January 20th.
Hi, I'm Justin Daugherty. I was born on Ronald Reagan's second inauguration. Right now, I'm actually studying biointensive gardening, and I go to ACC, Austin Community College. I'm going provided by a federal Pell Grant, and I live very humbly. I live off of like $700 a month total.
It is of concern to me that Ronan, how is he going to be able to attend a university and make it affordable? It's getting so much more expensive.
I'm Larry Sequino. I'm 23 and I live in Santa Monica. I was born on January 20th, 1989. It was kind of a good time to be born, especially like my dad being a software salesman during the dot-com boom was pretty great. And I think that my dad being involved in computers, definitely I was involved in computers in a really early age, and everyone needs computer programmers these days. So I didn't have any trouble getting a job. And some of my friends that don't know the computer side of things, I try and convince, like, why don't you just learn computer science? Like, you'll get a job really easily.
My husband went to Kellogg School at Northwestern and got his MBA there. But being able to pay back those school loans is definitely a constant struggle for us.
Right now, I have a 4.0 GPA. I look at my life as I have more of a responsibility because I have this Pell Grant. I definitely am very appreciative of the opportunity that's been provided for me.
It's hard for me to even imagine what it was like back before we had computers all the time. Like this morning, I was in bed and I had a question and my phone was right next to me and I had literally all of the information in the entire world at my fingertips.
Hey, Ronan, what do you want to be when you grow up?
When I grow up, I want to be a football player.
We've got more inauguration coverage at marketplace.org. And finally, we already know the winning coach of this year's Super Bowl, Harbaugh. Playoff wins yesterday by the Baltimore Ravens and San Francisco 49ers means teams coached by brothers are facing off in the big game. John Harbaugh coaches the Ravens. His younger brother, Jim, leads the 49ers. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.